KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Derek Kitchen is a man of many talents, a small business owner, recently married, and also the face of Kitchen v. Herbert, the lawsuit that led to marriage equality in our fair state. He's also a new member of the City Council, taking the oath of office on Monday of this week. Derek will join me to talk about his vision for where he'd like to see his district, District 4, go, and the role that downtown plays in the larger community. We'll also talk about his role in marriage equality, about being a small business owner, the impact of the farmers market, and about good food and the way that it can bring people of disparate political parties together. All that after this from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my dear friend, Derek Kitchen. Derek, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Derek has lots of traits, there are lots of facets of Derek Kitchen. You're a small business owner. Lead plaintiff in Kitchen v. Herbert, the marriage equality lawsuit that helped to pave the way for marriage equality in Utah. And also, most recently, a new member of the Salt Lake City Council representing downtown and the Central City. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
You've got a couple of council meetings under your belt now.
Indeed. Yeah, so the first meeting was the official induction ceremony.
Yes.
And we coupled that with the mayoral inauguration as well, and that was exciting. And then yesterday, or 2 days ago, I should say, on Tuesday, we had our first official meeting as a body, and that was fun. It was a soft meeting.
They want to ease you into it.
Yeah, they eased me into it. The official council meeting at 7 p.m. only went for 40 minutes, which is really light, because yeah. I've been to meetings in the past that go until 11 p.m. at night.
I have to say something about you, and I think I may have told you this before. I was really impressed prior to the campaign and during the campaign that you actually showed up to things. Like you weren't just out knocking on doors, although I'm sure you did plenty of that. But you went to council meetings, you came to the Downtown Alliance board meeting, you went to mayoral debates. I mean, you really immersed yourself in the political process, and maybe that makes entry into being a council member a little bit easier because you sort of know what to expect. You've been to council meetings that go until 11 o'clock at night.
Absolutely. You know, I think I saw the campaign as an opportunity to not only talk politics and policy for our city, but to dive a little bit deeper into our community and, you know, scratch below the surface a bit. So, you know, whether that was going to all of these meetings that you mentioned or, you know, doing tours with the Volunteers of America or the 4th Street Clinic or going out on the Jordan River and just really trying to learn as much about our city as possible. So I loved campaigning for that reason.
I was able to attend the induction / inauguration, and I thought you did a very good job with your speech.
Thank you.
It was cool to see that.
I was nervous, but I'm very proud of it.
You didn't seem nervous. You mentioned some highlights in that speech. What are sort of the three or four big issues that you want to focus on representing District 4 and that you see as really facing maybe the city generally and also the neighborhoods that you represent?
Definitely. Well, you know, District 4 being downtown and Central City is the most urban part of our city. And in fact, it's, like I said, the beating heart of our whole state.
Yeah. I won't disagree with that.
And so I'm really proud to represent District 4. But I think we have some real issues facing us, whether it's the homeless population over in the Rio Grande, Pioneer Park area. Mm-hmm. Or it's just all of the development that's happening in Salt Lake. And so I think what I'm really excited about is to be at the table and to be able to guide this a little bit more proactively. I'm happy to see our city grow, but I want to be careful. And what's more important is not how quickly we can grow and develop, but how well. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask ourselves this question as many times as possible over the next 4 years. What kind of city do we want to be?
Yep.
And so I think we want to build a city that's equitable, that's affordable, mm-hmm. that's diverse, and invites people in and really encourages folks to be a participant in our community.
You talked in your speech on Monday a lot about sustainability also, and maybe broader than just sort of environmental sustainability, which is often, I think, what people think about with sustainability. How do you think that concept of a sustainable city fits into your vision for the future of downtown and the future of Salt Lake City?
So sustainability is a value that I will evaluate every decision that I make. Mm-hmm. It's the lens through which we ought to make all of our decisions in Salt Lake. And so I think when I think about sustainability, it's more than just the environment, although that's incredibly important. And I do believe that we need to be moving away from fossil fuels as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we talk sustainability, how sustainable is our population generally? So are we educating people enough to stick around? Are we investing in entrepreneurs and our economy in a way that's going to stand the test of time? And then, of course, sustainability in the financial realm and budgetary process and making sure that we're spending money wisely and we are using the money we're collecting in a way that's sustainable. And so, I think that you can apply sustainability to everything, and I intend to do that.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a key value that you'll use as you govern the city along with the rest of the city council and the mayor. I know you've only been in office for a few days so far. Any surprises, or is it kind of what you thought it would be like? Is it different than you thought it might be?
I need a lot more coffee, I've noticed already. I haven't noticed too much. I've been, at City Hall since Election Day. So for the past 2 months, I've been, going into the office and really trying to learn as much as possible so that, when I took the oath of office on Monday, I could hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. And so, I haven't seen any major surprises yet, although I'm sure there's some waiting.
But
it's all good.
So 4 days in, so far so good.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, I'm sure I'm confident based on your personality and your values and sort of who you are, you're going to have a really good experience. That is my prediction for the future.
Yeah, I think so. The council seems really strong. I've built relationships with all the other council members, so the seven of us are all friends already. And, I think that we respect each other quite a bit, and we all want to be successful. And so we will be there to support each other and to work well together and to make compromises when it's appropriate. So I think what you'll see out of the council over the next 2 to 4 years is some real leadership on some of our agenda items. And we will have a retreat at the end of this month where we will outline specific priorities for the next year. But I'm really excited to be a part of this council. We have a lot going for us.
It does seem like a really strong council. You and I have been friends for really several years. You were, I should mention, with Laziz Hummus and Spreads. Is that the official name?
At one point it was. We call ourselves Laziz Foods now.
Laziz Foods. You've beyond Hummus and Spreads. I actually bought from Moody, your husband, at the winter market on Saturday, your new product. You have a new, it's a sauce, right? Is that tahini sauce?
Yeah, it's a tahini sauce. It's the sauce that originally goes on falafel. So it's tahini, lemon juice, garlic, some water, salt. It's really simple but unique.
It's been awesome. We've been using it as salad dressing.
Have you?
Oh, that's okay.
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about Laziz. That's how you and I got to know each other. You came on early as a sponsor of, I think, the Tuesday night market that we did in Pioneer Park. You and Moody and Laziz were sort of early. I think the very first year you guys were there really helping to sort of change that dynamic in Pioneer Park. And you've been a fixture at the market ever since. Maybe you can talk a little bit about how Laziz came to be, because I think it's kind of a cool story. It's a typical story, but it's a cool story.
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, Moody and I were, we love to eat, we love to cook. Moody's from Lebanon, so we would frequently make Middle Eastern dishes. And our friends and family started requesting hummus because we would serve it at dinner parties. And so we thought, why not sell it? So we started packaging it in used cream cheese containers. Uh-huh. And we just started receiving more requests and thought we would apply to the downtown farmers market and sell it a little bit more professionally. You actually had a hummus provider at the market at that time, and so we were accepted on a part-time basis every other week. But really, the farmers market is where we realized that we had a product on our hands that people wanted and that we could sell and make a little bit of money off of. And so I really value the experience that the farmers market provided, not only for our business, but for many, many other producers as well, because it's a huge opportunity and an incubator, I think, economically speaking, for our city. It's a space where you can have a product, whether it's food or a craft or something else, and take it to market, get real-time feedback from your buyer. And that's just something you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, hard to do that. And you guys have really grown since. I mean, you started with hummus, and you now have at least three other products that I'm aware of. You're in grocery stores.
Yeah, so we're in about 45 retailers now. We do home delivery with Winder Farms. And we just started supplying Nicholas & Company, who takes our products to restaurants and cafes all over the state. So that's exciting. And then we're branching off our brand a little bit. So we're going to grow it into a deli over in the Central 9th neighborhood on 9th South and 2nd West. And that should be open later this year. But yeah, I would say that without the farmers market, we wouldn't ever realize we had a product and we wouldn't be where we're at today.
Well, it's a, I think you're a great success story. We look to you guys as success stories at Rico Brand. Mexican food is a great success story. Spruce's Waffles is a great success story. Lots, probably two dozen, three dozen businesses that have grown.
And
from
more
the
to come.
Market. Yeah, more to come, absolutely. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Derek Kitchen, talking about the future for downtown, future for Salt Lake. Derek is the newly inducted member of the Salt Lake City Council representing downtown. We'll talk about the growth of our urban center with Councilmember Kitchen after these messages. Welcome back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Joining me today is my dear friend, Derek Kitchen. Derek is a new member, one of two new members of the Salt Lake City Council, joined by Andrew Johnston, representing the Glendale area, the west part of our city. Derek represents downtown, I should say, downtown and Central City. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you are a small business owner downtown. You live downtown. I mean, it's hard to think of someone who is a better representation of downtown than you are. What do you think's in store for the future of our downtown? This is a time of making predictions at the first part of a new year. What do you think is in store for the future of our downtown?
Well, downtown Salt Lake has a lot going for it. Just take a walk or a drive down 4th South and you see all of the development that's happening. We have the new Eccles Theater coming online.
Have you been able to walk through that?
I've been through three times now, and it is a masterpiece. It's beautiful. I can't wait for that. It's going to be a huge community resource.
So Main Street seems to be thriving in many ways. I think City Creek Center played a role in that. 111 is going to help that. 222 obviously played a role. I might ask, what do you see as the future for Main Street as an employment center or an entertainment center? How do you see Main Street relating to the rest of the city?
Yeah, we have a lot of businesses along Main Street, whether they're local or international, like Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're going to see Main Street continue to come around. You know, for the last, 15, 20 years, it's kind of been on the upswing after pretty much being gutted for a long time. So I think you're going to see that come around and become more and more vibrant. More development happening. I'd like to see more food, more restaurants, more cafes, more bodies generally just walking down Main Street. And I think that you're starting to see a lot of that already. And I agree that City Creek had a huge role to play in making that happen. But there are a number of other private investments that are piggybacking on that and just contributing to the growth and the dynamic nature of Main Street. I think Regent Street, which is a city investment through the RDA, will really tie the Gallivan Center and City Creek Center together in a really magical way. I think you're going to see that as kind of Main Street 2, so to speak. And so I'm really excited for that, more of a festival street maybe. But I'm excited just to see what that does to our Main Street and how that catalyzes more and more investment.
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems that cities are either rising or falling, that nothing, I think that's sort of a Buddhist philosophy, but that, change is constant. Things are always changing. And I would agree with you that it feels like this is really an ascendant time in our downtown and in our city.
I think one of the challenges with Main Street, though, is encouraging people to go down there after hours. Yeah. So, you see a lot of daytime businesses, but not a lot of 24/7 residential population. So we need to maybe try and activate that more at all hours of the day.
Yeah, maybe either through nightlife or through people living downtown young people who want to be out at 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Both. Yeah, I think nightlife is huge. It'd be great if we could get some more bars and restaurants and cafes and places where people can just spend some time hanging out. But also, you're seeing a lot of residential development going on around Main Street and in the arterial roads nearby. I think we are going to see a huge population increase in the next 5 years. Just in time for the 2020 census, I think we are going to break the 200,000 mark, hopefully, for our city, which is great because that puts us into an entirely new category for mid-sized cities.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
We're going to be able to go after all kinds of new grants, federal grants and private grants, and we're going to be able to get some more attention on our great city here. I think breaking 200,000 is going to be huge for our city.
Well, it seems like if you look at all of the multifamily development that's gone on in our city, it seems likely that we'll be moving in that direction. Let's talk a little bit about the west part of downtown. You've been involved in some conversations about homeless shelter, either the county's collective impact conversations or conversations led by Gail Miller and Palmer DePaulis to think through the location of services. How do you think that homeless services will evolve over the next 2 or 3 or 5 years, and what impact will that have on downtown?
I think the services will be dispersed over the next 5 years, which is a good thing, I believe, because it'll allow us to better target each individual subpopulation with the services that they need and better fold them back into our communities. And so I think that the disbursement model that the Collective Impact has laid out is really the right way forward, and I support that. And so I think that over the next 5 years, you're going to see a net benefit for the west side of downtown. Even if we do continue to keep services over there, we will see an improvement in the way that we administer those services, which will be a good thing for downtown. You're going to see more development over there. Hopefully, you're going to see some revitalizing of the gateway. You're going to see a lot of residential developments going on. The city, through the RDA, owns about 12 acres just west of the Rio Grande Train Depot. And so I think you're going to see a lot of transit-oriented development happening, which will be it'll bring a lot of real good energy to the neighborhood. And so I think that we have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah. Now is the right time to see that sort of change happen on the west side of Salt Lake.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that Mayor McAdams, Mayor Becker, Gail Miller, and Palmer DePaulis have all laid out is that housing really is the key to addressing this sufficiently and in a long-term kind of manner. So I think that the city council and the residents of Salt Lake can be supportive by encouraging more housing development, more affordable housing. And when we speak about affordable housing, we're not talking about just low-income housing. Right. We're talking about workforce housing and permanent supportive housing and transitional housing. But I think housing is really the turnkey for solving homelessness.
Yeah, I think obviously getting people in houses makes them no longer homeless and they're able to solve other issues they may have in their life. You now are on the city council, and I suspect you will have a long and illustrious career in politics. At least that's my hope. You really got your start, though, in the political realm with Kitchen v. Herbert, which I know you spent a lot of time talking about. This will not be your first media interview talking about Kitchen v. Herbert. But I wondered if you had any insight now that it's been more than a year since that ruling. And you and Moody were married last summer at Gallivan Plaza. Looking back at that time in your life, as a relatively young person, kind of thrust into the spotlight as the lead plaintiff in that, what sort of reflections do you have? What sort of insights did you glean from that experience?
That's a loaded question.
I told you this would be easy.
No, that's a good question. Very fair. You know, I'll say that when we started Kitchen v. Herbert, we didn't know it would end up the way it did. We weren't counting on a success or a victory. We just knew that it was the right thing to do to make a stand. And when we did prevail, it was exciting, but it was surprising, I think, to us and the rest of the state. To have Utah and Salt Lake in particular be ground zero for marriage equality nationwide, especially when we had such an important role in the Prop 8 drama in California.
Yeah.
So I guess it made poetic sense that it would come down to Utah. But so I think, you know, being involved in that was life-changing for me because it helped me realize that by putting my energy and my faith and my effort behind something that really mattered to me and my community, that I could make a real difference. And so I think my experience there empowered me to do more, and it really gave me the courage to jump in to the city council race to begin with, because having a positive impact on your community makes you want to do that again. Mm-hmm. And so I see city council as another avenue for me to affect positive change in the city that I love. And the city really that I'm investing my personal energy and my resources in my business and building a family. So, you know, I have a lot of love for Salt Lake, and I really want to be a part of its change and its growth, and a role. I want to play a role in making it better.
Yeah.
And so I see, you know, city council is a way for me to do that. And I definitely have to credit my involvement in Kitchen v. Herbert for showing me that it's possible.
Yeah. I think it seems to have been a great launching pad for maybe even more important and better things. Maybe not more important, but bigger and better things as you move through your life, as you continue to be an advocate.
I hope so.
Have you ever had a chance to talk to Governor Herbert, as your names were both so prominent in that lawsuit?
Yeah, it was. I've ran into him a number of times, and you know, it's not like we go grab coffee together.
Right. He doesn't drink coffee.
We don't go grab Diet Coke together, but but you know, I'd like to work with him at some level to help Salt Lake grow, to make it better. I'd like to maybe encourage him to advocate for policies that are good for our city. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity. He and I are all on good terms. There's no animosity there. But, you know, I don't know if you noticed at the induction on Monday, my friend Mia Love came.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And
was she there to support? I noticed her there, and I thought it was weird because it's not really in her district. It's Chris Stewart's district, but it was interesting to see her there. But she was there because of your relationship.
Yeah, Mia Love and I are friends. Representative Love and I are good friends. We've established a relationship through food.
Uh-huh.
She's Haitian, and she loves good food. She's a foodie. And so, you know, we may not see eye to eye on politics and policy, but I think she wants what's good for Salt Lake, and she wants to be effective, and she wants to be a good leader, as do I. And so, you know, anytime we can find common ground on anything, it's worth doing.
Yeah.
And so I was really happy to see her there supporting me, and, you know, I'll do what I can to support her and other political leaders nearby.
Yeah. As we wrap up, I wanted to ask just briefly, you know, what's your vision for the future? Where in 5 years, where do you want Salt Lake City to be?
I would like to see Salt Lake City making real progress toward being off the grid, essentially. I want to see us use all renewable energy. I'd like to see us double down on this development boom that we're having and really encourage quality structures, things that are built to last. And so whatever that looks like, I'm not sure yet, but we have an opportunity, I think, to really take ownership over our growth and build a city that we're really proud of. And so I'd also like to look a little bit further and be a little bit more progressive and look at things like maybe a quality pre-K program, citywide pre-K, because I truly believe that it's only through education that we can ensure a stable future in Salt Lake. And so I'd really like to see what we can do with programming like that. But I see a lot of opportunity down the road, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Well, Derek, thanks so much for coming in today. Thanks for spending the time. And congratulations again on your election to the city council. It's a good thing for our community.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.